So let's look in a scripture tonight. The Bible passage, Matthew chapter 15. I'll read it here. It's one that many of you actually... Yeah, let's go with Mark. Mark 8. So most of you know that there's several passages in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that are very similar stories. So if we're going to look at Mark verses chapter 8, verse 1 through 9, talking about a multitude of people hanging out with Jesus, hanging out, being praying, hearing him speak, preach, counsel, talk, just watching. So that's what this is going to be. So chapter 8 of Mark, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, saying unto him, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me for 3 days. You guys remember this story? Jesus was on the mountain with the people for 3 days. And the next part of this sentence is pretty tough. And have had nothing to eat. 3 days. So the next time we have camp meeting, go 3 days without eating, the whole multitude. And if I sent them away with fasting, hungry, back to their own houses, they would faint by the way, for many of them have come very far. And the disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Like, how am I going to give them bread in the middle of the woods? And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, brake it, and gave the disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes someone brought, and he blessed and commanded them to also set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that they had was left over, and had 7 baskets of that. And they had eaten about 4,000. Yeah, it was a kind of a big group. 4,000. And he sent them away. And straight away he entered into the ship with the disciples and came to the parts of Dalmatha. Dalmatha? So I've did some research on this. For 4,000 men, plus women, plus children. So it's estimated it could have been a crowd of up to 18,000 people. So it's a big group, and they hadn't eaten anything for 3 days. So you can imagine this was pretty big, pretty amazing. And so much bread left over. Bread to spare now after the lesson's over. And I was kind of thinking about this. Growing up, my parents didn't have a lot of money. And my dad, he had a job and raising the 3 children. My mom and her didn't have abundance of money. So they only had 1 vehicle most some of my growing up time. And my mom, when she had to, she would go to the grocery store maybe once a week. We'd all have to get in the car, take my dad to work, drop him off, you know, the whole situation. And so it just so happened that I was in elementary about the time, and we were going to go to the circus with my school class the next day. So we had to pack our lunch, because everybody had to have a brown bag lunch to take with them to the circus. And my mom did not have any bread. And that's like essential for a kid, I suppose. I mean, you've got to have a white bread sandwich. And we didn't have it, so my mom, being very resourceful, she made biscuits. She baked biscuits. And I just felt like an odd kid with a biscuit that was all crumpled and falling apart. Now I'd love a biscuit, you know, with my sausage sandwich, but my mom probably, you know, just trying to create something, she did it with a biscuit. Well, unfortunately, the disciples did not have my mom with them. So they didn't have that resource. So Jesus was teaching these 4,000 men, women, children, and they had headed off to a large remote area. Because that's a lot of people. I mean, you think about our church, it would hold a lot of people. Hundreds can fit in there. But this was thousands now. And they're going to have to be able to be in an area that, you know. So we find that they're in a large area on the mountainside. And what was with them also, I read there, was blind, crippled, mute, lame, anybody who was sick. They came from miles around, and he took time for them. He had compassion on them, it says. Think about at the end of the service, a lot of children, a lot of sick people will go to the altar and get prayed for. You guys know, and then usually we'll sit down, and it seems like it takes forever when you're ready to go. Think about 4,000 men plus women and children who are sick. They're coming from towns around to see Jesus. How long they had to wait. That was a lot of compassion. There's a lot of waiting. There's a lot of healing. The people were watching. Lame people. People who hadn't been able to walk their whole life. See. And so Jesus had compassion for each one of them. Compassion is best described as being sympathetic, pity, concern for others. And I was reading this definition and my daughter asked me, and she goes, what's sympathetic? I said, well, it's kind of like when you hit your toe on the floor or on some step and you come crying back to mom, right? Moms are very sympathetic. They comfort their hurt children. Well, that's kind of like how Jesus was. He was very sympathetic. He was compassionate. Some of you see your sibling kick your toe on the floor or on the step, you just snicker. You just like, well, it'll feel better when it stops hurting. But Jesus was really compassionate, sympathetic. When you think about that, are you compassionate? Are you sympathetic? These people had traveled from neighboring villages. They came from other cities nearby to hear the preaching of Jesus and to be healed. And I was just thinking on the way here, if you've been sick or if you've not been feeling well, maybe some of you have went to doctors, you went to specialists in other cities, you've traveled maybe far away. Hopefully none of you have been very sick. But if you do not feel well, you'll do about anything. Traveling to the next city would be, that'd be easy. I can just get rid of this illness, this lameness, whatever the problem would be. And just to see what's going on, right? I mean, I'm curious. I like to see what's going on. Whoa, that's pretty amazing. Well, these people have been following Jesus for 3 days with little to no food. And many of you guys here tonight struggle going 3 hours with no food. Maybe one service with no food is a pretty amazing feat. But these people had went days. And Jesus didn't want to leave them without nourishment. And Jesus said to the disciples, what do you have? What do you have? And the disciples had forgotten, but just a couple, actually the next chapter earlier, I believe, less than a year earlier, something very similar had happened. And Jesus had fed 5,000 people and a multitude plus women and children. And they didn't say anything. Well, hey, you did it last time. Just do it again. They didn't do that. They're like, well, we really don't have much. We're out here in the middle of nothing, nowhere, in the woods. And think about yourself. Do you find you guys yourself in similar predicaments? Your back's against the wall. You got an exam on Friday. You really didn't study much for it. You got homework due. You got a report due. You've got a task at work that's overwhelming you. You forget about the last time you were in the same situation. And you, oh, this is the end. I'll never make it. I'll never get this done. There's no way I'm going to ever get this figured out. And none of these disciples remembered the last time. At least they don't mention it here. Nope. No one remembered. And I often think about, that's why testimonies are so important. Why are testimonies so important? To remind ourselves of what God's done for us, what others have, God's done for others. When someone gets up and testifies, like, hey, I was in a similar situation, or I'm going through it right now. I'm glad you hear that. Because we forget so quickly. We're human. And it reminds God that we're thankful. Think about a situation maybe that you've went through recently that you've overcame, or you're like, wow, it wasn't really that bad, but at the time, it seemed like the end of the world. Because your back was to the wall, you couldn't have a place to eat, a place to sleep, a place to live, a job, finances were coming due. There's just so many things that comes at you in life, right? Now that you've passed it, it doesn't seem like that big a deal. So Friday night, recently, there were several youth. I was over here behind you, and there were several young people that came in after service, and they walked in the kitchen. They were kind of concerned because there was no food. We just went 3 hours without eating. We're kind of looking for food. What do you got to eat? They looked around and they mentioned there wasn't any food. But thankfully God provided. Sister Shulucky comes strolling in with a cart. And we had plenty of food. She brought in food a few minutes later. But not one single person asked me, can I go get something for everyone to eat? No one asked me, hey, could I go get some food? Could I run down to Subway and grab subs for everybody? Nobody asked me to provide food. Why? Because we're so used to everyone providing for us, right? Because you guys knew it was coming. We knew that food was expected. But feeding 75 youth, giving guys ketchup, mustard, hot dogs, hamburgers, sandwiches, chips, cookies, drinks, that's a lot of work, right? And it all adds up, and it makes, we got a lot of hands, and it makes it easy. But guess what? The church absolutely loves each one of you here tonight. The church being other people, parents, people like yourself, the Lord loves you, the youth leaders love you. Guess what? We know you, right? I probably could tell you like one thing about each of you. Some of you are ornery, some of you are handsome, some of you are pretty quiet, some of you are a little apprehensive. But I know a little bit about each one of you here tonight. And so do the people that made the food, right? They know a little bit about you. They've seen you sing in youth choir. They've seen you participating. They've seen you in the services. And they love you too. But think about Jesus. He had compassion on that multitude. He didn't know many of them people personally. He didn't know their situation they were going through. He didn't know their home life. He didn't know their parents, maybe. He didn't know when they were pain-free last. He didn't know about their financial situation. He didn't know their family history. He didn't know where maybe they slept last week. He didn't know how hungry they were. He had compassion on them. He cared about them. And Lord, help me to see people, not their situation, but each one, each person individually. Maybe I see someone maybe in a spot and I'm like, oh, they must be really going through it. I just hope they'll have a good day and just keep on going. But let me see each person individually, right? Not the situation. Maybe classmates are going through some situations. Kids on the bus, students, waitresses at the restaurant, your professors, your boss, your neighbor, whatever it may be, they're people. And Jesus, he had compassion for each person individually. And we're all dealing with people who are starving around us, so to speak. They're going through situations, and it's tough. But we need to be like Jesus and see past the faceless multitude of 3,000, 20,000, however many people in Silicon County, 32,000, 50,000. And see past the faceless multitude and open our hearts to hungry people all around us. The disciples, they saw the multitude. They saw the big amount of people. And when you're working maybe in the cafeteria at church here and you see a lot of people coming and you're the drink person, you're like, oh, I'm going to be doing drinks all night. Right? It looks like a lot. It looks like a huge multitude. And that's what the disciples saw. They saw the multitude. They didn't see each person individually. They didn't see them as hungry people individually. And when you take a moment and you say, have a good day, when you're going through a drive-thru and they take one moment and say, have a good day, they've been instructed by their employers, hopefully. But maybe some of them really do care about you. I kiss this bag for you, have a good day. You don't ever get any personal care one-on-one, but I blessed this food for you. Have a good day. You don't really get that. Jesus saw hungry people individually. When we see like Jesus, there's going to be a change. You're going to have compassion. And you stop thinking about yourself for a little bit. You start thinking about other people. And you see other people who are needy, need to press on, right? Several here are dealing with tragedies right now. I don't know who it is. Probably every one of us have a situation they're dealing with. Maybe not a tragedy, but tough situations. Press on, right? Several are dealing with the tragedies, and church family is very awesome. We come and we support each other. My son's been sick for, it seems like forever. It's only been like 4 or 5 days. My wife and I'm thinking about it. It's been since Wednesday. And it's tough when you got the family's hampered by one person. And everyone's got to kind of rally around him and support him and baby him, and he loves it. But that's what it is like my family, right? But the church family sees people who are struggling, and they come together and they support the person, the family, the situation, whatever it is. We show compassion to others. It shows compassion to God. When you show love to other people, you show love to God. You show love to each other, and you care about God, you care about others. When you're kind to other people, you can feed a multitude, one person at a time. So you can serve God by showing a little bit of love and kindness. So I thought about it. I'd get ready to go into the festival, but I ordered Texas Roadhouse today. I was not at church this morning. My wife was. And I said, when you go through the drive-thru, ask them for some extra rolls. And they did. Now, these rolls have been in this bag for like 3 hours. But I've got 4 in this bag and 3 in this bag. And actually, I might have 8. We could divvy these up. I could get a knife out and someone could cut them all up. And it would, yeah, you jump at that. But really wouldn't go very far, 8 of these rolls. They come out of the oven. They're usually piping hot, and put a little bit of cinnamon butter on them. And you guys could cut through a couple of these before your salad got there. I don't know what the record is, but I'm sure someone here has probably got it set pretty high. But think about Jesus. That's all we really had, right? I'll get one to Isaac. Oh. I'll get you a fresh one. He hasn't ate since supper. So we find that you can eat it. Mm. 4,000 people were able to eat off of probably less bread than this, so to speak. Well, it's because God blessed it. When you show compassion to others, when you're showing it to God, like I said, you can serve God by showing a little bit of love and kindness. I think we sing that song in here on Friday or Saturday night. Show a little bit of love and kindness. How do you treat your parents? Your siblings. Your enemy. I got a picture texted to me this morning after church, and one of you young people in here were hugging your brother during altar call. And that was really nice. And it encouraged me. Just showing a little bit of love to each other, right? How do you treat your family? Because that's usually the person you're hardest on, right? Because you spend a lot of time with each other. And then kind of a little bit with the youth group, you kind of spend a lot of time with each other, and it kind of goes on. And I even thought about during like August camp meeting, some of you were getting pretty wore out, working many meals, spending a lot of time together, hour after hour. It wears on you. So spending time kind of wears on you, working for the Lord, it wears on you. I think about the disciples. If you think you've had it hard, think about going 3 days, 12 of you, who really are not food preppers, food cleaner uppers, so to speak, taking care of 4,000 men who are grumpy, lame, blind, who haven't eaten in 3 days, get a little cross. They're out in the sun, they're on the mountain. Where'd you spend last night? Over there behind that tree. Where was you at last night? Well, me and my family, we huddled over here by this stump. Okay. Just, it's hard to imagine how tough this situation had to have been. We had a little campfire. Everybody got around the fire. Nobody ate anything, but we had a fire. Day after day, and we got to hear Jesus, and so-and-so was healed of leprosy. Someone else was healed of being blind. Someone else was healed of being lame. So it was encouraging. So how do you treat your parents? How do you treat a stranger across the aisle, at school, on the bus, at church, at work? Maybe the stranger at the nursing home today. Probably some people there that was stranger to you because you didn't really know them. They're a lot older than you. It's tough to sometimes relate to someone that's not like you. They're a stranger just because you don't know them. Then you greet them and you meet them and they're no longer strangers. They're friends. So it changes quickly. Jesus took what the disciples had. What did they have? They had roles. He took what they had. Anybody else want one? Isaac, you've already had one. Evan wanted one. Anybody else? Over here? Barrick? Brother Shalucky took the youth group. Where?
In Lambert.
Lambert's in Missouri. Alabama. Jacob wants one. And we find that. Anybody else? Okay. Lambert's. All right, Chris Hayes. Put your hand down. Throw it. Woo! All right.
Who was it?
Roman. Not Roman.
Not me. I don't want that.
Anyway, Lambert's, they throw them to you, right? You raise your hand and they wing them across the room. The youth group went to Lambert's. It was the Brother Dishman's. Does anybody remember that? Good. You have to go again. It was 10 years ago, I believe. Anyway, they throw them to you. Jesus took what the disciples had. It looked small. What I had right here couldn't even probably feed one of you when you're starving after 3 days. But it looked small, but he fed a multitude with it. God can take whatever you have, no matter how small. Some of you reach in your pocket, you may not have much. Maybe a Starburst. Maybe a peppermint. But you know what? There's someone in here with bad breath. And you can share it with them in church. No, I'm just kidding. But you can, whatever you have, contribute to others. Share with others. If it's your strength, if it's a smile, if it's a kind word, it goes a long ways. A handshake, a door opening. Just eye connection, right? Sometimes just looking someone in the eyes, know that someone connected with you, it means a lot. We know that God can create a miracle of how small that it may be. He's going to bless it. It can blossom at some time. Wow. That person was such a good person. They did such an excellent job serving drinks. They gave everyone a smile and they handed them the drink. We're going to promote them up to the next step in life. I don't know what it may be, but God's got a plan, right? It's going to blossom to something special. You contribute, others will join you. So it talks about in the scripture, they had some loaves of bread, probably some small, basically what I gave you guys. And then later on in the scripture, it talks about all of a sudden they had fish. It doesn't talk about where the fish came from. But probably someone saw, hey, so-and-so contributed bread, I want to give mine. This is the same way it is with anything in life. If you see someone working hard, anyone doing anything, you're like, well, hey, he's doing it, I want to join him. And it really helps. You got a friend. I think one brother was talking to me Wednesday night. He said he was painting in the dorm. And he had someone else helping him. And it really probably meant a lot, right? And you have two people, makes the job
right.
Half.
Right.
And someone steps up and helps you. Anybody in here like working alone?
Yes.
One, two, three. Right. So, apparently you guys don't like getting anything done. Because when you have two people, it helps twice as much, right?
If I do it myself, it gets done better.
Okay, well, there you go. Right, he did it right for himself. But anyway, when you contribute, other people often join you. When you're going to get tired, it's sometimes draining, but the blessings are still wonderful. Think about the people they left. The last thing that they saw before Jesus sent them off was, we just got a huge meal. We weren't expecting that. Everybody's stuffed. Everybody's full. And then they had a lot more left over than they even started with. It's hard to deny that, right? What about you? Are you willing to give God your bread as needed? Whether it's your car, whether it's your time, it's your energy. A few minutes here, a few minutes there, a smile for someone. Ask God to guide you. Show compassion to a lost world. One person at a time. One person. You don't have to do something special for everybody. You have an extra water bottle at work, and you see this person here is thirsty, and they didn't bring anything to drink. Share it with them after you rub off the neck. No germ sharing. Need to get them a new water bottle. But one person at a time. Show compassion. Show love to the lost world. And I want to kind of finish with that thought. The scripture ends with, pull back up here. He sent them away, and straightway he left, and he went with the ship with his disciples and came into parts of a different part. And right before that, on one of the, there's two situations. One was 5,000, one was 4,000. Right before that in the verse, it talks about Jesus just had to deal with the passing of one of his disciples. John was beheaded. Can you imagine? I mean, he had just went through a traumatic, tragic incident. I mean, could you imagine our pastor losing one of his assistants to something as violent as beheading in prison and then having to go out and work in the dining hall, so to speak, and feed 4,000 people and then get the food ready for him and then deal with him for 3 days. It's just, it's amazing what Jesus did. And just like, he must didn't have time to recover from losing John. And now he's facing this. So, I think that's in the Matthew text. But anyway, that's where my thought is tonight. Anybody has anything encouraging to share about it, think about it. You can come and talk to me about it. But about your bread. Share your bread with others. Share your time. A smile. And Jesus is going to make it something special.
Great. Very good.